views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm founder of the Women of Wisdom Conference, which I started in 1993. And I'm so excited. It's we're at the end of January right now, and we're just a couple weeks away from the conference. And everybody just gets so excited when people know that they're going to be coming back together, or new people are coming and getting to experience what Women of Wisdom is about. And so the energy is just raising now. It's going to be February. I think we start at February 11th through the 15th, and lots of activities, and just want people to know that you can register for any one event. So what's unique about our conference is you don't have to go the whole weekend. You can drop in for a day, for an evening, and just go to our website, www.thewowconference.org, to find out all the events that are happening. There's over 40 workshops. It's a very experiential conference. So today I am interviewing Kate Thompson. And Kate is an expressive arts practitioner, cultural change agent, and social artist. Her extensive healing work in healthcare, theater, and diverse groups has taught Kate that the creative, along with an intention to heal, creates the next new brave story of our lives and organizations. Kate works with groups and organizations and individuals to create transformational experiences, healing, cultural change, and social innovation. Kate is going to be doing a workshop with me. It's so exciting to do one with Kate. It's called Stories Live, Be True to Your Story, and that's going to be Sunday, February 14th in the afternoon. So welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Chris. It's a delight to be here. It's always great to be with you, and it's exciting to talk about stories and women of wisdom and see what juiciness we can come up with.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we know we can make it juicy. So first, tell us your story. You know, why are you drawn? What in your life, you know, as a child or a young adult drew you into creativity? That seems to be a theme in your life.
Well, it does. And, you know, I think... you know, one of the earliest memories I have that was the most transformative memories for me was seeing people who were ill and wanting to understand their story. Like, I would see a person go down the street, maybe in a wheelchair or crutches. I just remember being very, very young, maybe 3-5 years old, and wanting to understand what was happening for them. And then as I continued to grow, I continued to have that quest and wanting to understand that. And of course, right after I graduated from high school, I went directly into nursing school. So that early on was a place where I came in to story. And in nursing, you were continually being a story catcher, story healer, someone who's being so present for people so that you can get to the essence of what their needs are, and that you can make, you know, in stories heal people because you've been listened to.
That early
listening was a big part of it. And as far as the creative path, truly, I think some of the creativity, you know, came more later in life when I realized that I was missing something. And I'd always sung, I'd always been somewhat theatrical. And then I found a playback theater group that actually found me. And it's the form of playback, if you don't know it, is part folk, part process oriented. There's 50 troupes around the world that do this improvisational theater form in which the story is the essence of the theater. People from all walks of life, it happens in different organizations, hospices, birthday parties, corporate America, where the stories come to life through the actors. And I was honored to do that for about a decade. So that was a really important part of my life. And I think it also started teaching me about improvisation in general, and just using the words, which is a key word here inside of improvisation, is called yes and. So if you make an offering to me, I want to be able to say yes and then offer something else, because we never want to negate anybody else's story. But it works well for just being a good citizen as well, which is important to me too.
That's true. You know, and I've been even in emails, because it's so easy to write but, you know, like, well, that would be a good idea, but, and I've been erasing the word and putting and or another word, because yeah, but does negate it. It's like, yeah, but I got another idea. That's better, you know, kind of gives that feeling tone, you know.
Right, because once in a while, the incorporation of the two is this beautiful marriage, this blend of something that was never born before, but because we looked at both, we were able to, you know, find something brand new. So yeah, it's a great great tool, a great little phrase to just keep in mind as we're walking through the world, to try to leave butt out of it.
Well, I want to go back, because what you said about nursing, you know, and nurses, because having been in the hospital, having to sat in the hospital with my father for many days, and, you know, the caregivers, the ones that are there always are the nurses, and they play such an important role, and it's kind of, you know, not, they're not acknowledged as much as they should be, I think, or that value, but And they're so busy. I know that they are given so much work, that how much time now are they really given to sit down with a patient and listen to someone's story?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Chris. And, you know, I have, as you know, nursing I have many passions and many places that I want to, you know, shine a light to help empower and illuminate and connect people together. And one of those places is for sure nursing. And so, because nurses right now are so needed to be able to find one another. We're the most trusted professional in the United States for 16 years running in the Gallup polls, except for the year of 9/11, when the firefighters went to the forefront for a year. And the problem is the public don't know what nurses do. And that's one of my passions, as you know, is to help flip that paradigm and really bring the voice of nursing present and empower and illuminate and connect nurses so that we can move to the forefront. And you know, because I think we can be better care ambassadors. We can be those story healers, story catchers that catch the story, not just of our individual patients, but of ourselves and the culture itself, enough to, so as if we would almost grow another finger, another way of caring that has been untapped before. So a great need there, and a great need to keep bringing more nurses to the forefront, because we need more nurses. And it's a wonderful profession. I'm waving my hand in the air right now. I highly recommend it. So not for everybody, but.
Yes, true. Well, let's talk about, because our workshop is on stories, and let's talk about why, even both of us, but I want to hear from you, you feel telling our stories is important.
Well, I feel like it's a way to find ourselves. It's a way for us to learn how to give out when we tell a story, just being with a friend when we allow ourselves to really be vulnerable and or just tell any story. And also it lets the love out of us. And it also lets it come back when we really listen. People feel it when you're really listening to them. And so I think that the only time we're really, you know, that we're really, Mitch Albom said that you're not a wave, you're a part of the ocean. And I think that, you know, stories are so integral to our history and our culture and how we as human beings, the oral history was was there far before all of this immediate thumb media that we have right now. And that if we can't, you know, continue to claim these our stories and that oral history for ourselves, we're going to miss a large gap of how we connect. And we both know that when we tell the stories, even the stories of the shadow, what's not being said inside me, I can tap into it and even journal into it as my story, or share it with a beloved or a friend or a therapist, so that we're getting them out so that we can become more authentic. It's like that velveteen rabbit, you know, the more we're used and rubbed, the more we become real.
Yeah. So,
and what do you find there, Chris, about, I'd love to hear how you express the importance of the stories.
Well, I think you said it is about being witnessed, and that you know that your story is important, because a lot of times we discount we value other people's stories before ourselves. And to know that when we share a story with somebody, we're really sharing a gift to them. Well, we're going to take a little break now. This is Chris Stanis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Kate Thompson.
The 24th annual WOW Conference, United We Change the World. Featured guests are Dr. Christine Page on creative dragon energy. Dr. Susan Shumsky will show you how to awaken your third eye. And Mira Kelly will present a two-day intensive workshop on Beyond Past Lives. This February 11th through the 15th, go to thewowconference.org. That's the WOW conference.org.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now through March for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with my good friend, Kate Thompson. We're doing a workshop together at the conference about stories. So we've been talking about the importance of storytelling and telling your story and the value of that, and realizing to value our own stories that we, you know, Kate, I was just mentioning how we tend to disvalue them. We don't, and we're shy about it. You know, there's a fear of telling our own stories.
Indeed. I think that, you know, I think it reflects back to that sense of, you know, our own shadow. It's like maybe we haven't been heard in our life, but maybe there's even any one spot where it's okay to share your story. It's in your journal or with a friend. And that, you know, the more we practice this art of telling a story, finding a beginning and a middle and an end, sometimes there is no real end, but the main thing is this sort of practice of touching the story inside of ourselves and being vulnerable enough to share it with another. And oftentimes we find we get really excited when we start telling about our stories, even if they're not easy to tell, because we know that we find some healing. And I think that all stories, when told with intention, are healing.
Yes, they are. And they're healing for the person and healing for the listener. Because I know a lot of times, I've said this before in a show, but, you know, it can be selfish now to not tell your story, because if you're holding back, that story is for somebody. And if it just reaches one person, it's done its job as a story. And
That is so true.
And when I hear of an urgency, I mean, like, I should say this. And if I hold back going, I don't feel comfortable saying it. But when I do, someone invariably will say, oh, I'm so glad you said that, you know, because they can relate to it. Like, they've been feeling that way and they've never shared it for whatever reason. And So it allows permission for others to feel the same, you know, to relate it to what their story is and to feel comfortable to share their story. So if you're opening and welcoming your story to a group, it allows others to share their story. And we love hearing stories.
Oh, that is so true, Chris. I can remember that happening so many times. I've held back. And as soon as I did share, someone would come up and say, it's exactly what I needed to hear right now. And you can't believe it. You're like, oh, God, I just felt so vulnerable or awkward or whatever it might be. But it's the right thing. We're all going to feel vulnerable and awkward at times, you know? Yeah. And I think, too, that you know, that with our, even our culture, it's like when we think about consumerism, you know, versus being kind of citizens, and how do we reclaim all this messiness? You know, part of it is by creating our own culture and the culture of stories and story initiatives and ways to bring stories out into the world, like you do with your radio show. It's a beautiful gift to people to be able to hear the different stories and find out, keep their finger on the pulse, or hear their own voice come out of someone else. And maybe we don't feel so alone.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I want to talk about the conference because you've been a long time attendee. I don't know how many years, but we're in our 24th year. And, you know, I probably know you 20 years. I'm not sure. But, you know, our theme this year is United We Change the World. And, And that relates to storytelling, too, because, well, storytelling and stories are such an important part of Women of Wisdom. So I would love for you to share your experience about that and how it fits with a theme.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. I was actually on the board for a while at WOW, as well as being the team director. And so all those beautiful young women coming into Women of Wisdom was a remarkable experience to see, of course, their shyness sometimes, and yet they just, how could they could step into leadership so readily. And I think in any of the workshops, there's always an opportunity for you to kind of lead and or have your voice be seen to the whole group. And I can remember, because, you know, Women of Wisdom goes on for, you know, multiple days. And what happens is that you will see a woman maybe at the beginning, and maybe you run into her the same workshop or a different workshop at some time. And then you start to chat here and there, and you start to hear these stories unfolding of how much people are getting from it and how transformative this week, this time together is. And there's such beautiful stories of such holism and healing and courage and just pouring people finding their passions and being able to pour themselves into it. And again, that sort of sense that we need to create the culture and instead of continuing to consume it. And the stories are ways to do this, coming to Women of Wisdom, where we're going to be, you know, focusing on how we united change the world. You know, it's really a great time to feel like we're part of something bigger than ourselves, because the only time that we waste time is when we really think that we're alone. You know, we're not really alone. We're always, there's people out there that, you know, it's like reaching out, and it happens so fully. There's such a sense of celebration.
Yes, and I know, and I'm not sure now if it's so strong, but I was very aware in the first 10 years or so of how isolated women were or felt. And we tend to isolate in our homes, and we have our, you know, we're just also busy, and so it's an opportunity to go out and be with other women. And I find, and I'd love for you to share your thoughts on it too, the importance of women gathering for many reasons. And just some of them we've been talking about is to have that connection. And for me, it also gives hope for the world, because like you find like-minded people who also have similar concerns about our environment, about our world, about peace, all those things. And you know, to come together and get out of our isolation and is so healing.
Well, it absolutely is. That's so pure and clearly put. And I think that right now too, we need us more than we ever have. And the Dalai Lama talked about how it is women, the Western woman, is who's going to really transform the world. And also, I think it was Thich Nhat Hanh that mentioned that community would be the next guru or the next Buddha. And Women of Wisdom is a perfect spot to just come and ensconce yourself, eat meals with, you know, and go to their different workshops and keep finding ourselves and one another, because we have to create a movement if we want to keep our humanity intact. And especially with the essence of love and care, like only women can really bring that nurturing and tenderness and ferociousness and passion and leadership and, you know, the ability to really connect and be relational is so purely women. It gives me a lot of hope, and it gives me a lot of hope that this is the theme for this conference this year.
I'm glad you brought that up about the leadership roles. And so what are your thoughts on that too? And I'm wondering from you, you know, as you probably see in your work field too, what holds women back from leadership?
Well, I think sometimes it's not believing that they were meant for this, and or they have a passion, but it's kind of their quiet, oftentimes could be a quiet passion. They haven't chosen any role models or, you know, ask somebody to mentor them or just taken the step to say, I can be a leader. I remember a few years back here locally, there's an organization called Citizen University. And I remember, and I'm signing up to go this year. I'm very excited about it. And one of the things I remembered when I saw that word citizen, it was like a banner dream to me, like a big image, like, I can be a better citizen, which requires some leadership when I, you know, go in and sign petitions. So I think it's sometimes about how we can empower ourselves, how we connect to the right people, and keep believing that we can be. I remember writing, I made a vision board one time, and I wrote leader. I had the words leader on there, and, you know, with some great images that were reminding me of that. And so I think we just have to step in, and it's time. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
Yes, step in. So it's like a leap of courage.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you can even use the yes and. Well, I have, my life is this and my life is that, and I have this passion, or I know a lot about this, or, you know, I have this strength. And it's like, so yes, and how can you bring it to the world? And even in small ways, it doesn't mean you have to go save the world. I mean, if you know how to, you know, teach watercolor, then teach watercolor. That's a healing and brings beauty, and we need all the art. So it doesn't matter where the leadership lies, so long as you just keep following your passion and pulling on it and knowing that somewhere, someone, you are leading the way.
Mm-hmm. And so let's tie this into what we're going to do in our workshop, because one of the things we kind of do a playback theater in a way, and that so people we do a lot of writing where people exploring their story and testing it out and sharing it with people and kind of, you know, exploring what is their story right now to tell. And then they also, we have them have others jump up and act out their story after they read it.
Yeah, it's we create a human moving sculpture, sort of a play on some of the playback theater form called a fluid sculpture. And that has been such a hit because, again, we're so alone in our story. And what I found after doing a decade of improvisational theater was that once the stories come out, our audiences never used to leave the theater. They would just sit. They would turn to someone they didn't even know and say, well, you know, that story they told about this, or, you know, that person stood up and told, that's my story. I have that part of that story. We find ourselves and we see the universal story. We find that sense of connection. And so when people are up, you know, performing, they're so brief and they happen very quickly, but they're done so authentically and with passion. You just see the participants. They're so ready to be able to serve the everyone, to give their story back to them, to act it out with a sound and a movement. And it's very exciting because there's that sense of people were really seen and people got to really serve someone else's story. And that scene, you know how like when you pull a tarot card or an angel card and you're sitting all together, that card's not just yours, it's everyone's. It's the same thing with the story.
Yeah.
They all belong to all of us.
Right. And it's fun to watch the person who's, they've read their story and other people act it out. And so they talk about, their eyes just light up, like, because people see different aspects that maybe you didn't see yourself. And so it's very revealing. Well, we're excited to give this workshop. It's called Stories Live, Be True to Your Story. It's Sunday, February 14th at the conference. So we're going to take a short break right now. Again, we're going to come back and talk to another WOW presenter, Maria Lujan Peralta.
You got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook, thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tongue-tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water. On Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Awaken to your radiant, authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
The 24th annual WOW Conference, United We Change the World. Featured guests are Dr. Christine Page on Creative Dragon Energy. Dr. Susan Shumsky will show you how to awaken your third eye. And Mira Kelly will present a two-day intensive workshop on Beyond Past Lives. This February 11th through the 15th, go to thewowconference.org. That's the thewowconference.org.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Badili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's ATANAMethod.com. And sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm speaking now with Maria Luján Peralta. Maria was born in Argentina, and from an early age, she dedicated her life to metaphysical studies and music. She trained and developed her spiritual gifts with her two wonderful teachers, as well as in other spiritual schools. After she moved to the United States, she continued her spiritual journey, which includes teaching and counseling. She's going to be doing a workshop called Argentinian Magic in Carandísimo. It's going to be Saturday, February 13th. So welcome, Maria.
Yes. Hello, and welcome all of you too. Yes, thank you. And thanks for welcoming me.
Well, tell us about how you came to this path of healing, this healing work, the Argentinian magic.
Right. I call it magic because that's, for me, it's magic, and there is a lot of magic there, and it's good magic. You know, it's positive, it's healing. And years ago when I was in my country in Argentina, and a member of my family got very sick, and some friends told us about this wonderful curandera that was in my country, in my city, actually very close to my house, that it happened. And so I went to see her, and from there, that's it. I mean, it's history. And my family member got better because we began to do a lot of healing, and she taught me. I was very young, of course, at this. I was only 15, 16 years old. And although I have been into the spiritual practices forever since I was born, since I have memory, so I would call it since age four, since I was 4 years old. And so, anyhow... And so then that's how I began. That's because of this member of my family got sick. That's how, in a way, we began more and more into discovering more into the healing arts.
Mm-hmm.
That pushed my whole family to do that. And although, you know, we had a family that was extremely clairvoyant, all of them without any exception, my father and my grandfather, especially my grandfather, my mother, sisters, brothers, etc., and myself. And I'm the only one that took it to the top from my family. Although we all went to spiritual schools, and in my country, in Rosario, Argentina, we had an incredible spiritual school. And another teacher that I encountered later, she told me about this spiritual school, so we all went, and we learned much more.
Uh-huh. So you say you have this family. So is that common to have a family of psychics, healers, you know, passes down from generation?
No, I wouldn't call it common. It just happened that I was born in the right family. You know, it's not common. I mean, it happens. And so I was very lucky because since I am a child, since I'm very little and talking to the spirits and doing predictions for neighbors, for friends, since I was a child, my mother would counsel me, would just tell me things that I was supposed to say to the people or not to say because I was a child. I didn't know. I would see spirits. I would talk to spirits and friends and family members, or they would find out and they would come to my house. And my mother said, don't bring any money, just bring food or if you want. So I always on my table, I had candies and desserts and potatoes since I was a child.
So you were encouraged because a lot of people, you know, they have these psychic gifts when they're young. It's kind of, you know, parents don't want them to speak out and they deny that, you know, no you didn't
right.
see that. You don't know that. But you, it sounds like you were encouraged.
No, my mother is not that she didn't want me to do those things. It is just that because I was little, she was counseling because she was also clairvoyant. So she was not denying. She was encouraging what I had. On the contrary, she was teaching me. But because I was so little, I didn't know how to approach that to people, because whenever I would see things related to people's spirits walking around them or whatever I would see, I would tell them, because I was, you know, as a child, you're honest, you speak the truth.
Yes.
So my mother would just tell me, be careful, these are things that you can say, these are things that you cannot say. She was encouraging me and teaching me.
Yeah, teaching you. Because there's appropriate ways. And yeah, you're right, because children don't necessarily censor themselves. They just speak it.
Right.
You know, speak the truth. So
that's how I got into curanderismo at an early age.
Yes, yes. So what is curanderismo? Let's talk about that.
Curanderismo, I'm sorry, I don't mean to stop you talking. Curanderismo basically is a spiritual healing art. And some people call it a Hispanic earth spiritual healing art, but it's not just Hispanic. I mean, this art, I call it an art, healing art, started actually from the Moors and the Egyptians, the Greeks, a lot. They because those people, those cultures already were healing with earth. And we're healing with rocks and with gems, with things that they already knew how to heal. And so then curanderismo means to cure, to heal. That's the Spanish word, to cure. So that's what it means. And it describes the practice of traditional healing in many countries, not just in the Hispanic countries, in many countries. So it's a system of healing based on a belief that magic and ritual can be used to treat a large spectrum of illnesses, by the way.
So when you say magic, what are you saying? Well, give us an example of how you might work with somebody to heal them.
For example, if this, curanderismo actually heals many different kinds of illnesses. One of them, and that's one of the most important ones that I'm going to talk in the Women of Wisdom conference in February 13 of 2016, here in Seattle, it's going to be about spells, how to heal people from spells, bad spells. So if we could add that word there, witchcraft, that I don't like to use because I mean, it doesn't have a good connotation, but I was taught since an early age, in Spanish it's called daño. That means a bad spell, a witchcraft. And so it's related to the subject that if someone sends somebody else negative vibrations, they don't, and there is a direct bad spell or indirect bad spell. Direct one is when someone knows exactly what they're doing and they contact people that are knowledgeable into the spiritual arts, but into the negative connotation, let's call it the black magic. And so then here I come. I belong to the white magic. So to remove that from people's energies, because the person could get sick. So the direct spell is when someone sends you directly, and they also make you drink things or substances, or they take a piece of hair, if I could say this on the radio, of yours, and or whatever they can take from you, and that's how they do the bad spells. And so I was taught by this incredible curandera from Argentina. Her name used to be called Coca. And she was well known in the area, and she taught me how to remove the spells from people. So the things that I have seen, and that's how I call it magic, because the things that I have seen have changed my life forever. You know, I mean, I have so many good memories from her and from all her teachings and all the things that I learned in my life. So it put me into a path that was unique, at least for me, was unique.
Mm-hmm. And, give us an example of what kinds of things you would see.
Yes, for example, in the sessions when my teacher used to heal people, for example, she had three dogs. And she would heal people, of course, in her house, because mean she was humble. She would see people in her kitchen, and people would come into her big hallway, kind of like a big garage, and wait there. And anyway, so then after this whole family leaves, and I was helping her to heal this family, or actually on their way out, her three dogs collapse one after another, pop, 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 on the floor. And immediately, I knew what it was, of course, but immediately she tells her husband, bring me Bliss water, because these animals all animals are mediums. And so, which means that all the spiritual garbage that these family were leaving, not on purpose, of course, that was not their intention. We were healing them, so they left clean, but they were living on the dogs, these entities. So these spirits, that of course they are not alive, they're dead, and they were the ones that we need to send into the light, if we can call it like that, or into higher planes of existence, so that they don't continue to contribute to the bad spell, because the bad spell, in Spanish, is called work, trabajo, which means that someone is doing a trabajo for you, a work for you, not necessarily a good one. So there we go to remove the spirits, to tell them, no, don't contribute to this type of bad spiritual work. Contribute to the good one. And so it's up to us also to send them into higher planes of existence, of consciousness. And so the three dogs collapse. A second later, after the blessing water is... on each one of them, just a couple of drops, the dogs are fine. They fainted. The three of them, pop, 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 one after another. It was so fast. And these family, of course, saw that, and they felt so bad that they said, let's leave this house, because not because they felt bad about her or me. That's because they felt bad that they were leaving their spiritual garbage with us.
Mm-hmm.
So they felt bad because of that, but they were grateful that we were healing them. And so that's incredible. That by itself, the dogs, that was an experience that I will never forget in my entire life.
Yeah, when
and
you experience
also
it, you
by
see
healing
it.
Other people, I have seen, you know, how she used to do it. People used to come crippled, sick because of this bad spell as well. And bad spell is not the only illness that she would heal. I mean, in curanderismo, we heal other things as well. And
we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. I know we're going to get more into this. I'd love to hear more, the different kinds of healing that you do and that your family or your teachers have done. So this is Chris Danis. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk more with Maria Lujan Peralta.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
The 24th Annual WOW Conference, United We Change the World. Featured guests are Dr. Christine Page on Creative Dragon Energy. Dr. Susan Shumsky will show you how to awaken your third eye. And Mira Kelly will present a two-day intensive workshop on Beyond Past Lives. This February 11th through the 15th, go to thewowconference.org. That's the WOWconference.org.
What are vibes? We often use this word, but did you know vibes can actually be useful and help solve our everyday challenges? Embark on an exciting learning journey with Caitlin Keat, 11-time Visionary Award winner, specialist in vibrational energy, and the creator of Vibes Up. Join Caitlin as she takes you through the world of vibrational therapy and energy healing with natural solutions for a modern world. Visit vibesup.com to learn more today.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit LucidPlanetRadio.com for more information.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm talking with Maria Lujan Peralta. Maria, can you give your website information to the listeners and how they can reach you or find out more about your work?
Yes, www.psychiceyesandmusic.com. Psychiceyesandmusic.com.
Well, great, yes. And so you were talking about having these experiences with your teacher, and are there different types? So you call the person who does the work as a curanderos, is that correct?
Yes, curanderos is the plural for the male and female. Curandera is for the female. Curandero is for the male.
Okay, and are there different types,
from Brazil? Also, they also follow about the same techniques for healing.
Well, is there a difference between the Argentinian curandismo versus other types that are offered throughout the world? Are there any differences?
Yes. We could just say there is a difference, and one of the reasons is because of the complex processes of initiation of lots of traditional healers among European Argentines, that mostly from the Spanish and Italian and the French and the Germans that populated Argentina a long time ago, who settled in the main provinces of Argentina. So they brought an incredible amount of resources to us. And then, of course, we use our traditional remedies that are taken from native herbs, okay? And also that every curanderismo's healing technique is a little bit different in each country. Basically, it's the same approach, but the technique could change from one culture to the next, and even in the same country changes. And then, of course, we have the helpers, and the helpers are saints, spirits, of course, spirits that come to us give us messages that we need for whatever information that we need for the client, the person that we're seeing at that moment, or for ourselves. For example, my teacher used to read through a glass of water. She always had a glass of water and a candle always on the table and the picture of her saints. And she used to tell us, you know, when I met her, I mean, we knew, she said, I read through water. And I am not that type. Every person is different. And sometimes when I was younger, I wanted to, not to copy her, but to be her, because I really cherish her in every aspect. And she used to tell me, no, you need to be you. You need to develop your own techniques. You need to develop your true essence, what you came to do into this earth.
And so what are your techniques? Can you share that?
My own techniques.
Yeah, so what do you use?
My techniques are a little bit different than hers. I don't read through water. I don't need water. I don't need fire. I feel. I hear. I am a clairaudient. I hear. I am a clairvoyant. I see. And I am clairsentient. I feel.
Oh, well, you do it all almost.
pretty much I do it all.
Yes. Well, what about, because you mentioned herbs, there are specific herbs that you use to heal
the palms, the palm mystery, and I read the tarot cards, so I try to be a little bit more, I'm not going to call it complete, but that's why I've said from members of my family, the only one that took it to the top, because they were good, but I was the one that continued to study and continued to improve myself into the spiritual arts.
Right. Okay. And I'm sorry, I think I interrupted you, but I was asking if you had any specific herbs that you used for healing.
Yes, yes. Actually, we do. And it's an herb that actually that is an European herb that is called, in Spanish, it's called ruda. And in English, it's called rue, R-U-E. And it's a very ancient herb that has been, it's actually extremely medicinal. I'm not going to go into the medicinal for the physical body, but I'm going to go, I only use it for the spiritual part. And that's one of the, my main herbs that many people in Curanderismo use to help actually people bathe with this, people take showers with this. I don't tell people to ingest it, although a lot of people will ingest it. That's their, you know, their, a lot of people from my country and other countries will take it as a, will drink it as a tea. Because as I said, it's very good for parasites, it's very good for the eyes, and et cetera. It's very medicinal, this herb. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, I'm careful when I give it to people and I say, no, just use it for the spiritual part, just maybe put a drop of this, maybe a little bit of a very reduced amount of quantity of rue water on their hands or on their neck. And I recommend it also to do that, just a tiny amount reduced rue water for animals as well.
Uh-huh. So you put a little bit of the spice, the rue, into water. Do you heat that up?
Yes, you put a small amount of rue, dried or fresh, or even an oil like rue oil. It's called rue oil or rue extract that you can get through the internet, and also like many people can even grow it in their gardens, and it's a beautiful mm-hmm. plant. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful flowers, beautiful plants, and it will decorate your house, but also will protect your house. All my neighbors have it. All my friends have it, of course, because of me. And yes, I tell them to get it. And but also, when you take a shower, or at least you put it a tiny amount of drop on your hand, you don't have to do it each day. Maybe once a month, once every 6 months. Or when the person wants to do it, and it removes negative vibrations for the person. Mm-hmm. That's what we strongly believe.
Mm-hmm. So do you ever make it into an oil tincture?
I have never made it myself, but okay. I know people that do. And I know people that do that.
Well, we just have a minute left. So if you could share what you're going to offer, you know, what will you be teaching at the workshop that people will actually go away with a little healing ability of the Curanderismo
right.
method?
They will develop a lot of healing abilities, if we can call it like that. But I will also inform them, enlighten them about what Curanderismo can do for them, and the different kinds of the traditional illnesses that Curanderismo can heal. Bad spell is just one of them. Another one is called scare, if the person is scared for many reasons, that can be described as an illness that results in soul loss.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, again, and there are six kind of illnesses pretty much that Curanderismo could address, actually more than, six of them. And that's what I will be. And then we'll also have a lot of practice in the class so that the person feels confident enough, comfortable enough to just say, okay, from these 3 hours, this is what I learned in not only the knowledge, the information, but also the practice so that they can do it on themselves, their practice on themselves, their families or friends.
Yes. Yeah. Well, practice is important. Well, thank you, Maria, for being on the show.
You're more than welcome, and I'm very delighted to do this.
Yes, sharing your gifts. So Maria's workshop is on the Argentinian Magic and Curandismo Saturday, February 13th. You can register on our website at www.thewowconference.org. Just look at the schedule page and scroll down, and you'll find Maria, and you also will find Kate Thompson and myself. We're on Sunday. Our workshop is on Sunday. Maria's is on Saturday. So you can find out all the different events that are happening at the conference on February 11th through the 15th. We're very excited. You can, as I said before, you can register for the full weekend as weekend passes, or you can register for individual events. So we have some special evenings. All the evenings are open to men. So we have a couple nights of talks. We have a dream dance on Saturday night. And Sunday night is open to men, and we have workshops that we share with the men that on Sunday night. So it's a fabulous weekend. And you can also just go into the doors for free. We have a marketplace. We have a healing temple. People do healings and readings, and there's an art show, and there's food. And so it doesn't cost to enter into the conference space. It costs to enter to go to attend the workshops. And so I encourage everybody to check that out. Again, www.thewowconference.org. Okay, well, we will be back next Friday. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.